Hi, I'm Kevin DeCristofano.
I'm Sean Flanagan. We are the Ninja Turtle Nerds, your weekly podcast where we discuss the Ninja Turtle comics one issue at a time. And welcome to another bonus episode where we're wrapping up the fan ending of Volume 3 Image Comics. So how you been?
I've been good. This is sort of related. Actually, I don't know if these two franchises have ever crossed over, but something I wanted to talk to you about, Sean, before we get into this. I rewatched Alien the other day, which is a movie I've seen before, but I'm by no means an expert on, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering about something. So the robot guy, not Alan, what's his name?
Ash.
Ash, yes. So, big plot twist, spoiler alert for Alien. Big plot twist is it's revealed, you know, he's a robot and the company wanted him to retrieve the alien, right?
Yep.
My question is, wouldn't it have been better for the company to send a team who knew what they were dealing with? Because I can't imagine the events playing out any differently. I mean, yeah, he says that the crew was expendable, but like, why bother having a crew pick up this thing, not knowing how dangerous it is, and letting, like, everything that happened was basically guaranteed to happen the way they did it. So is there an explanation for that, or am I crazy?
No, I mean, you're not crazy, because I mean, in Aliens, they send Ripley, who knows what she's dealing with a bunch of trained Marines, and it still doesn't matter. So I think it's just pretty much comes down to the Xenomorph just being as dangerous as it is. But no, I mean, it's a valid point. I mean, if you want to go further,
their plan was, hey, we'll have these people pick up the alien that could and will kill them all, and somehow they'll get it back to us. That alien was never going to get back to them with that plan.
No, I mean, really, even Prometheus, it's like, it's not the most intelligent group of scientists that go out there. So I think that's just an inherent, like, trope, I guess, in the Alien movies.
I mean, I still love that movie. Like, I've definitely watched it a handful of times. Again, not an expert on it, but yeah, it's good watch. I'll watch it again.
So on the turtle front, before we get going, so Limited Run Games is announced between July and December of this year. They're going to be releasing on vinyl, CD, and cassette tape the soundtracks to all the games that appeared in the Cowabunga collection. So I thought that was cool. A little too pricey for me, but cool.
It's great that all that music's finally getting out there, though. Like, you remember for the longest time, like when we started this podcast, you couldn't get the soundtracks to the original movie. Right. And then that came out on vinyl, and then all the other ones came out on vinyl, and like now it's all getting released. And it's great that it seems like they're finally realizing that the Ninja Turtles have a fan community.
Yeah. And they showed another video highlighting the Shredder's Revenge DLC survival mode, which is going to have alternate skins on top of Yusaki Yojimbo. And it's going to have a power-up you can use to play as Bebop and Rocksteady. So that was kind of cool.
Still, as far as I know, not Shredder, though, which is interesting.
So, I don't know. I thought that was some good turtle news, even though I don't think I'm going to be spending the money on either, but hey, I'm glad stuff's coming. So
yeah, definitely good for the people who want that. I'm still on the fence about it. I have so many games to play right now.
Yeah.
And I've played the heck out of that one. So I don't know if just new characters is going to do anything for me, but we'll see. It might be something I end up getting like next year or something.
Yeah, it might be an on sale thing. Maybe I'll grab it. But today we are on fan issue number 25, even though there was only two issues, but of volume 3 of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And you said this one came out in 2012?
From what I could tell, yeah. I couldn't get like official release dates for either one, other than one came out in 2011, the other in 2012.
Okay.
As a reminder to anyone who might have forgotten last week, there was a fan-made ending to Image Comics because it ended abruptly. And for years, it was the only ending until IDW eventually finished it. A gentleman by the name of Andrew Modine decided to, you know, get everybody together. He rallied up a lot of the original artists from the series and got this fan-made 2 issues done.
So this might be one of the best covers, like, of any Turtle books. Like, I love this, like, all-out brawl in the sewer.
I love that it's a wraparound cover, so it's like a throwback to the original covers. And yeah, it's really, really cool. It's got, like, Lady Shredder is a great design, you know? Yeah. It's not, it could have so easily, you know, it could have been better, but it could have so easily been worse. Like Pimco is kind of the example of how it could go worse, you know? So, especially being on Image Comics, it's a good design.
But yeah, you get the turtles and the foot and Pimco and Lady Shredder. You got Mikey fighting the Shredder clones in the corner. You got Leo and King Komodo fighting.
Yeah, it's one of those covers where the longer you look, the more you find.
Yeah. And you got Raph and Chen fighting. The only thing I found weird on it, if you look at Splinter, I don't know if that's supposed to be Dr. X, but it looks like it's just a floating pink Ninja Turtle head to me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely supposed to be the Outram Dr. X. But, okay. But you're right. It does. It could be clearer.
Well, it took me a while because, you know.
It looks like he has a Ninja Turtle in a headlock.
Yeah.
Instead of like, that, he's carrying an Outram.
I was like, what is it? Oh, okay. So, I don't know. I think it's one of the best covers we've had. And
kind of a spoiler on the cover now that I think about it with Donatello in the background there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few spoilers on the cover, honestly.
That's true. Oh, yeah, because so, the Worm Shredder people are
the
kind of
clones are right there. So when we started up, we're back to Donnie and Baxterbot chatting, and they've kind of completed their bizarre transfusion where Baxter's kind of taken most of the cyborg out of Donatello, so he's kind of fully regrown his body now.
Did you notice a drop in the artwork quality?
Yes.
That was the first thing I noticed on this issue. And okay, I'll spoil it now. I ended up really liking this issue, so we'll get ahead of this. It's not going to be a negative review, but yeah, the artwork is definitely taking a dive here. Maybe they didn't have as much funds for this one. I don't know. Because the artists on it are most of the same people as they were on the last one. It's a lot of the old Image crew. So I don't know if they were under crunch time or what, but looks like it took a dive.
They wanted to see what that volume 2 of Mirage era was like to create.
I can't even put my finger on how to explain what's different about it. It looks more like when you draw the wind and everything's kind of more blowy. I don't know. There's just very more liquid quality to the artwork.
That's fair.
Looks more like an oil painting.
Yeah. So we're outside the cemetery lair. The foot have just shot rockets into the mausoleum. The turtles and Pimico and Splinter are escaping through the secret tunnels that are underneath the crypt, which I thought was a cool detail. And I don't know, I like that they retreat. Like, it feels like a legit tactic instead of just, no, we stay and fight. It's like, no, we get out and find a better place for the battle to take place.
Yeah, use some strategery.
So their strategery leads them into the sewers, which they're completely unfamiliar with.
That's sarcasm, folks.
And then you get, so this is where the art really is noticeable to me. We go to Casey and April, I'm guessing, because I couldn't tell you positively that that's who these two people are on the couch, but
you have context clues.
But anyway, Casey and April.
Oh, no, they use each other's names.
No, okay. They do, but I was just going visually, couldn't tell
you. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Clunk's looking good.
Clunk looks great, so they're hanging out on the couch.
Even the beer can in his hand, it's too long. Like, and I don't think they were trying to draw one of the longer, like, I don't know if they really had much of those, but I guess they did back then. But yeah, it's odd.
So Casey's mourning the loss of his job, and Shadow comes in to tell them she had a nightmare about Uncle Mikey. And it's a little bit of foreshadowing, but it's almost like this page was just a, oh yeah, they were in the series, weren't they? So
yeah, let's make it. We said this last time, where like when you get a fan project, a lot of times they're just like, well, I want to use the characters I like, whether they belong there or not.
So back in the sewer, Leo starts forming a plan. And then, it's not amazing looking, but I do like the Foot Clan just kind of like pouring in through the manhole into the sewer.
Yeah, it was a nice like throwback to the early Mirage comics, especially that Leonardo one shot where they just seem like they're endless and, you know, they're never going to be able to outnumber them.
And then, you know, you get a really awesome few pages of the sewer battle, which, like I said, they don't do that enough for how
this issue was way more action oriented than the last one. Yeah. It was like last one was like setup and this one was very much payoff.
So the turtles are fighting. Lady Shredder and Chen are still above ground. The Foot
Clan, to tie it into what I said earlier, Lady Shredder looks like she has a face hugger on her face.
Yes.
That's her armor.
And her legs don't look like it's armor. It looks like she's got scales and then it goes into armor and she's got like, I don't know, diving flippers on. Like, what's going on with her feet?
Well, she made it to the Zora waterfall and, you know, you're not going to just not use the flippers when you get them.
But the foot soldiers return with their rental van. And then we go back to Donatello and Baxter Bot. So Baxter has completely taken the cyborg out of Donnie. And yeah, Donnie looks off too. Like Donnie looks like more cartoonish than he should be. If that makes sense, so it doesn't match up with the other turtles.
It does.
So Baxter basically just kind of tells him to tell April hi, and then he just kind of falls apart again. So,
yeah, I wonder if they always intended to do this Baxter story, because we saw before that these were based on the original notes for how the story was supposed to end.
Yeah.
And this would have been, if they were continuing the series, a great way to reset Donatello to normal, because now he doesn't have the metal. He's not a robot. He's not a cyborg anymore. He's back to being normal Donatello. They mentioned that he has a healing factor because of the mutagen, and because he's had the cyborg armor on so long, he's been able to heal up, and he's good to go. So there's that part. And then they also kind of give Baxter a redemption story here where he's like, I always knew this wasn't going to work out for me. I just kind of wanted to help you. And I wonder if that was, you know, planned too. And also if it was planned to be real, because he just walks away from Baxter laughing. They could still bring him back. Like, you don't officially see this robot shut down, you know? So
yeah, he's just on the floor now instead of hanging from the wall.
So who knows what they originally intended, but
it's all good stuff. I wish they had included it. So when we get back to the fight, there's just a lot of stabbing.
Yeah, stab city.
So the foot soldiers retreat, which Leo is like, ah, that's not good. And the midget and the lobster claw clone shredders are dumped into the sewer. And I don't remember if they had this design, but I like that they gave them even more spikes on their shoulders. So that I don't know. That was a nice design thing, but it's a great callback.
Sonic the Hedgehog shredders made of worms.
So this was,
we'll have to make a rice of worms.
This is Lady Shredder's secret, you know, surprise for the turtles, is the two remaining worm shredder clones. And then she descends the sewer.
And then like a child playing with too many different action figures.
Yes. She joins the fray. Everybody goes back to fighting. Leo kind of takes out the Crab Shredder and is immediately ambushed by King Komodo, who, I don't know, he differs in quality panel to panel.
He came with the set, so we had to use him in the battle.
So I like this moment where King Komodo shows up, looks at the Crab Shredder that Leo just cut the arm off, and then just rips it apart himself and throws the head against the wall. So this is Leo's big, like, one versus one fight.
And I feel like in this universe, they were like, well, we liked when Leatherhead was a bad guy, but he's a good guy now, so we need another Leatherhead. And that was probably where King Komodo came from.
Right. So Chen decides he's going to fight Raph. Lady Shredder's starting to fight Pimiko. And Mikey is stuck with the tiny Shredder mutant, which is putting up a hell of a fight, I gotta say. So,
yeah, Shredder of any size is still a Shredder.
So there's some good dialogue between Lady Shredder and Pimiko about her defending the Kappas and betraying the Foot.
They love to call the turtles Kappas.
They haven't done it in a long time, so that was a nice throwback, too.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
So King Komodo's making fun of Leo for his little stubby sword hand he has. And
yeah, he's healing too via the mutagen.
Yeah, so they kind of get into everybody healing, which I like. So they do acknowledge, like, I don't think it happens yet, but Raph's eye has healed. But Chen is really, like, he's got, like, mystic powers now. So he's, you know, it's 3-on-1 almost against Raph. So Raph evens the odds and gets it just down to him and Chen. And he gets distracted as Pimiko and Lady Shredder, you know, kind of go in for the final blows against each other in their fight. And it's revealed that Lady Shredder is Pimiko's mother, which I thought worked really well.
I did too. This is, at this point, my note was, this is a way better ending than what we got. Like, how did the mother-daughter connection not happen in the official ending?
Yeah.
It seems like it's set up and then not used, because it's almost completely there in the official story.
Right.
And then when they did the IDW, ending, it's just, I guess they couldn't be bothered, or maybe they just wrote completely new stuff because they didn't want to reuse their old notes. Who knows?
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't feel like enough people would have read this to have known. Yeah. So I don't know, but yeah, I think the whole daughter reveal works.
It makes it that the fact that Pimiko is Shredder's daughter means something, because as it stands in the official releases now, she's just his daughter for no reason other than to have a connection to Shredder. But to tie it all back to this Lady Shredder storyline, it's almost like everything fits now. Like it's like there was a missing puzzle piece, and now you're like, oh, I get why there's a Lady Shredder now.
Right. And the fact that she's Tang Shen's sister and all of it ties really well.
Yeah.
Pimiko stabs Lady Shredder, and then Donnie shows up to join the fray. Then you kind of get Mikey stops for a moment to be like, hey, Donnie, and Raph does the same thing. Like, they almost hit pause on their fights, because in both panels, like, the mutant Shredder and then Chang are just like, are we still fighting? Or, oh, hey, Donatello's here. All right, cool. So Donnie makes himself a bow, gets into the battle. King Komodo just finally decides he wants to try and rebite Leo's hand off. So he violently rips off the little sword attachment Leo had, and it's revealed Leo's hand has grown back.
Ta-da.
And then he immediately cuts off King Komodo's head, which is it's a cool panel, but it's a weird panel. I don't know how else to go with it. And then Mikey decapitates the tiny Shredder through sheer force of will of his nunchucks, which, again, cool moment. And Raph, same thing, stabs Chen in the side of the head. So there's a theme here.
Yep, the battle is raging. Basically, it gets to the point where obviously, eventually, the good guys win and the bad guys lose, as the 2012 cartoon said.
So we get to this point where Lady Shredder also stabs Pimlico, so they're both dying now.
Yeah, this was really good too. This is another reason this is a better ending. So Splinter, this makes it so that in this universe, Splinter being a pet rat instead of being Yoshi who mutated into a rat, it makes it better because now he's a witness because he was a pet rat in the cage when Hamato Yoshi was killed and when Tang Shen was killed. He's a witness and he can tell Amai what really happened.
So you have that moment, which is a really good one page succinct. Hey, here's the flashback. It's done really well.
And you wouldn't have it if in this universe, Splinter was Hamato Yoshi mutated into a rat. Cause she could just be like, you're still lying. You know, you have no proof.
So now that Pimlico and Lady Shredder all kind of know the truth, they both die, and Raph removes his bandana and starts to cry and reveals he's got two eyes again. So something they denied him in the actual run. And then one of the Foot Elite approaches the turtles and commits seppuku, which means the turtles have won the battle. And Splinter, with Dr. X on his shoulder, leads them out of the sewer. And I don't know, I kind of dig the hallway of just slain foot soldiers.
Yeah, that's a really cool panel, or it's almost a full page.
This is where I have issues with this ending, but I feel like it could have ended there.
I agree.
But instead, now we're in Japan with Karai. She's getting updated on all the Foot Clan goings-ons. And
this is like a post-credits.
Yeah. Decides she's going to step back in. Leo and Raph give Pimlico a Viking funeral, and Raph admits that he liked her. Liked. And then Leonardo drops this bomb that he's had a secret girlfriend this whole time with Radical. Just as like a, hey, that's a character from the past. Remember that?
It's like a Rodney Dangerfield ending.
And then Mikey is, I think he's back in the apartment, but he's on the phone with the publisher and his book deal is going through.
Yeah, he's
again
in the basement, like lair thing they had at April's place.
And then Sarah shows up and he tells her the good news and he gives her a copy of the book. And she's
doesn't
like,
doesn't tell her to get vaccinated, apparently, though.
No, nope. She's like, that's great, Mikey. I'm breaking up with you. So that's finally Mikey's bad ending. He throws his typewriter at the wall. And then it continues.
And it's at this point in the reading, even though I do still prefer this ending, I was like, guys, you don't have to wrap everything up. Like, we can imagine what happened to some of these people.
So Donnie's explaining to Leo and Mikey and Splinter what happened with him. And then Leatherhead shows up and grabs Professor X and then leaves. So again,
I have to go now. My planet needs me.
Yeah, he poochies it. Like, no need for it. And then you'd think, oh, it's over. Nope. Remember the mob guy?
Yeah, at this point, it's like, hey, was there anyone else in the Image Comics run that had an unconcluded story? Because we might as well wrap that up, too.
So we go back to Big Tony. The Foot Clan show up, toss him his son's head, and then proceed to kill him. And then you finally get the last page of the Turtles. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you don't. What should also be the last page is the turtles walking back to the farm at Northampton.
Did you notice anything about this page? So this is reused years later. In the official ending that they did on IDW, it's
the same page.
Exact page, except Donatello still has the cyborg armor because they didn't wrap that up in that version. But yeah, in the actual official ending, they took this exact page, and that is where it ends, just like it should.
And then you get one more page on the Outram homeworld of Professor X.
Some Marvel movies have like six post-credit scenes. Why not?
Explaining like the whatever happened. I don't really know. Like, they didn't need this many endings.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's not like they had like a publisher who giving them a page count they had to hit or anything. And even with that, it's 54 page. Well, I guess without the backups, it's a little less, but yeah.
Between the two, they're pretty meaty, but no, I really like this ending. 50.
Yeah, with this 49 pages. So you could have gotten this down to a tight 40. Without all these endings.
So it feels a little more focused than the previous issue. I mean, like I said, there's still stuff in there that didn't need to be in there, but I guess they felt like they had to wrap everything up because no one knew there was three official issues coming and the story. But I mean, overall, I'd give it like a 4.8. Like, I really liked it. It's probably, even though it's not official, one of the best Image like issues. So,
Yeah, I think I don't remember what I gave the last one. So 0.1 better than whatever I gave the last one. I like this issue more. I like this ending more than what we got. It feels more thought out. It feels like the pieces actually connect. I don't know what happened with that official ending. If they want, I mean, they're kind of in a rough spot because they knew people knew about this one. So they probably wanted to throw some curveballs.
I don't know. It's just it ties to together so much better. Like, I don't know. There's still so much stuff that just either doesn't make sense or isn't answered in the official ending. And I mean, some of it's just simple, you know, just make Pimco and Lady Shredder related. You know, you don't have to do all this. No, it's Karai's daughter's body and it's this alien. And I don't know. It just overcomplicated itself. And for the most part, this is much more succinct. And like I said, I don't think Turtles media in general have enough, like, the end battle is in the sewer and it's an all-out, like, free-for-all.
Yeah, that was a very nice aspect to it. It was kind of a throwback to, like, City at War in the Mirage days. And it's good. It's very good. It's better than what we got with IDW. Like, I would highly recommend people go. I was kind of iffy last week when we were doing the one that was mostly recap. But if you've got the time to read 100 pages of the Image Comics continuity, a continuity people are kind of iffy on in the first place, I'd recommend it. It's a better ending.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, Obviously, Adam was able to get the original creative people involved, and that helps. So, no, I think overall, it's a solid ending and well worth checking out. And that's it for Image Comics now for us.
Yeah, so we've got, besides that, we are done with the Image Comics. And we're going to be moving back to Mirage for Volume 4. It's like, how many issues is Volume 4? Like 30?
I think it's somewhere around 30 something.
Like 32 issues, something like that. Yeah. So I'm trying to get the exact count up right now. Come on, TMNT Wiki. Help me out here. I'm not going to be able to find it. But yeah, that's going to be our full season. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about what the heck is Last Ronin? I was blanking on that. Last Ronin. And we're going to talk about Batman. Turtles Forever and the Batman Ninja Turtles movie.
Yep.
I think that's it. And then we'll be back with season 4, volume 4.
Yeah. So good.
They
stuff
finally
ahead.
Line up.
And, I don't know, maybe there'll be some more turtle goodies beforehand. And, we inch closer to Mutant Mayhem, so we get that too.
Yeah, and we're obviously going to do our thoughts on that. We're probably going to record them like the night we see the movie. I might just throw that straight up, like, right away. I'm still trying to find how many issues are in Volume 4. That's another volume that was concluded, like, well, Peter Laird, and people hate the way I say Laird, I'm sorry, but Peter Laird, did Volume 4, and he still claims he's going to finish it someday, even though it's not looking likely, and that's why that volume doesn't have an official ending. So it's going to be this one doesn't have a fan ending that I know of, though, so that season's just going to kind of come to a screeching halt.
Yeah, it's about right.
And the last few issues are actually really valuable because they had like such a small print run.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting going through it to see something that has one of the co-creators involved and it just wasn't, you know, finding the audience.
Yeah, there was like a lull during that period of Ninja Turtles where I feel like the 07 movie kind of started things turning again, and then IDW turned that, like, it was like the 07 movie started the franchise walking again. And then IDW in 2010, it started to jog. And then the 2012 cartoon hit and it was like off to a full sprint. And we've had a great trajectory for Turtles ever since. But yeah, 2001, which is when Volume 4 started, to like 2007, I think, was the TMNT movie. Real lull in the franchise. I mean, I guess you got the 03 cartoon in there, but I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about, clearly. So thank everybody for listening, and we'll be back with more Ninja Turtle stuff later on, someday. Goodbye. You have anything else, Sean?
Cowabunga.
Cowabunga.